The Entertainer by John Osborne. Adapted for radio by John Foley. With Bill Nighy as Archie Rice, David Bradley as Billy Rice, and Terrell Campbell as Phoebe.
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news, read by James Gregory. On the fifth day of the crisis in the Middle
East... What?
The situation has continued to deteriorate.
Can I get any peace in this damn house? French invasion of... Just a minute.
In a statement this afternoon...
Who is it?
Capital Cairo.
Jean.
President Nasser...
Who?
Fighting. Jean.
As long as a
your granddaughter.
...remains on Egyptian soil.
Granddad.
Can't even listen to the news in speak. Peace. The Prime Minister... Just a minute.
Anthony...
Hold your horses.
Hello, Grandad.
I wondered who the hell it was. Just a minute, dear.
Do you mind being quiet down there, please? Will you kindly stop making all that noise?
Why don't you shut your great big stupid mouth, you old fool?
Bloody foreigners. Ought to be locked up, some of them. Well, come in if you're coming. It's Drafty standing about in the doorway.
Oh, yes. Did I disturb you? I am sorry.
And close the door. Oh. I'd only just sat down to listen to the news. This is a bloody madhouse, this place.
You're looking very well. How do you feel?
Oh, I'm all right. You expect a few aches and pains at my age. Phoebe's at the pictures. She didn't tell me you were coming.
I only decided to come up this morning.
Well... Give your granddad a kiss. Come on.
It's good to see you.
Well, it's nice to see you, my darling. Bit of a surprise. Go on, take your things off.
Oh, here. I've got you some cigarettes.
Oh, that's kind of you. Very kind. Thank you. Phoebe won't be long. What she went out for, I don't know.
Gone to the pictures, has she?
Yeah, she said she was going early. I don't know why she can't stay in.
Well, she enjoys it.
Oh, thank you for the cigarettes. Very nice of you. Still, if she stays in, she only gets irritable, and I can't stand rows. When she gets in that mood, I just go out for a walk or to the club.
The club?
You haven't been there?
No.
Oh, I must take you then. It's very quiet, mind you, except at weekends. You get some of the wives then, but don't suppose it would appeal much to youngsters like yourself. There's none of that boogie-woogie.
I'd like to go.
Would you really? Oh, all right, we'll go tomorrow night. It's a good night, Sunday. I sing them some of the old songs sometimes when I feel like it.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's at the theatre. He's playing there at the Grand this week.
Oh, yes, of course.
You get a bit depressed sometimes, sitting here. Oh, then there's the Rose and Crown down the road. I go there, of course. But there's not the old crowd there, you know. What about all this Suez Canal business, eh?
Yeah.
People seem to be able to do what they like to us. I don't understand it. Archie goes to that damn place down by the clock tower.
The Rockcliffe?
Yes, the Rockcliffe.
Mm.
Every tart and pansy boy in the district are in that place at the weekend. Archie tried to get me there the other day. No, thank you. It's just a meat market.
How is Dad?
He's a fool.
Oh?
Putting money into a road show.
Is he? What is it this time?
Oh, I don't remember what it's called.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I wouldn't. These nudes. They're killing the business. Anyway, I keep telling him it's dead already. Has been for years.
Mm.
It was finished when I got out of it. They don't want real people anymore.
No, I suppose they don't.
Well, why should a family man take his wife and kids to see a lot of third-class sluts standing about in the nude? It's not even as if they've got the figures nowadays. They're all skin and bone.
Like me.
You don't stand round with nothing on for everyone to gawp at, and God bless you for it. But you never see a woman with a really good figure now.
Mm.
I could tell you something about beautiful women. Now, why, half the time you can't tell the women from the men. Not from the back. And even at the front, you have to take a good look sometimes.
Oh.
No, well, old Archie's a fool. He's bitten off more than he can chew.
With this new show?
Yeah.
Has he really put money into it?
Don't make me laugh. He hasn't got two halfpennies for a penny. It's all credit. Credit, if you please. How he gets it beats me. Still, he can always talk, your dad. And that's about all. I spent thousands of pounds on his education. He wasn't one of these scholarship people like you. And where's it got him? You all right?
Hmm?
You look as though you've been keeping late nights or something. Lots of parties, eh?
Oh, no, not really.
You're not in any trouble, are you?
No, Grandad. I'm not in any trouble.
I just wondered why you came up to see us like this suddenly.
Oh, it's just that
you do as you like, my darling. But if ever you're in any kind of trouble, you will come to me, won't you?
I will.
Now, I'm serious. Phoebe will be back any minute, and I don't want her to know. I want you to promise me.
I promise you, if there is anything, I'll...
How much was your fare up here?
Oh, no, Grandad, please.
Hold your bloody noise. If I want to give it to you, you shall have it. Here, just a minute.
Please.
Do as you're told and take it. I wouldn't have dared argue with my grandfather, even at your age. Well, I don't seem to have enough just now. How much is it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Of course you remember. Look, here's 10 bob. You take that. On Monday, I'll go to the post office and get the rest out for you.
Darling, you'll need that for the weekend. There's cigarettes and papers, and you're taking me to the club, remember?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'd forgotten that. Well, we'll call it a loan, mind.
A loan?
Yes, a loan. You mustn't go short. We all need looking after. And you've got to look after your own kind. No use leaving it to the government for them to hand out to a lot of bleeders who haven't the gumption to do anything for themselves. I want to look after you, Jean. I do, really. You're a good girl, and I know you'll do something with your life. You'll be somebody.
Bless you.
Now, sit down, for God's sake.
Oh, sorry.
You look as if you're going to put your hat and coat on and go. Now, sit down and talk to your granddad. I don't get much chance to talk to anyone. You think you're a bit soft, just because you can remember things when they were a bit different? Like that barmaid in the pub. I've seen her laughing up her sleeve. She's a common bit of goods, too. Great bosoms sticking out here. As if you want to see that when you lean over for your drink, enough to put you off your beer. And she gives short measure.
What time does the second house finish?
I don't know, about 11, I suppose. You'll wait up all night if you wait for him. They wouldn't have employed someone like that in the old days, like a common prostitute.
Perhaps I should go and meet him.
Oh, do as you like, my girl, but I shouldn't.
Mm.
Have you been drinking?
Yes.
And I always know when a woman's been drinking.
I'm sorry, I...
Well, I dare say you know what you're doing.
I had 4 gins. 4 large gins. I'll be all right. What's the business like?
At the theatre. I don't ask. But I'll bet there's more in the saloon bar of the Rose and Crown than he's got in there. I know how you feel, girl. You just relax.
I like listening to you. I always have.
Yes, you always used to like coming to see me, didn't you? You used to enjoy yourself with me when you were a little girl. You were a pretty little thing with your dark curls and your little dresses. Not that looks are everything, not even for a woman, don't you believe it? Well, I'll say this for Archie. He always saw that you looked nicely turned out. You looked a little picture, always. I feel sorry for you people. You don't know what it's really like. You haven't lived, most of you. You've never known what it was like. You're all miserable, really. You don't know what life can be like.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Archie Rice is the name. Archie Rice. Mrs. Rice's favourite boy. Me and the girls are going to entertain you for the next 2.5 hours, and you've really had it now. All the exit doors are locked. Talking about being locked in, some of these people ought to be locked up. They did. Honest, I'll give you a case in point. My wife. My wife. Oh, Charlie knows her, don't you, Charlie?
Yeah.
A real road mender's job she is, isn't she, Charlie? It's all right. I've taken his drill away from him now. I have, haven't I, Charlie?
He's the only boy soprano in the musicians' union.
I know what you're waiting for. You're waiting for the girls, aren't you?
Right there.
Just keep your peckers up. They'll be on in a minute. You've got to put up with me first. And to open the show, here's a little song I wrote myself. I hope you like it. Why should I care? Why should I let it touch me? Why shouldn't I sit down and try to let it pass over me? Why should they stare? Why should I let it get me? What's the use of despair? If they call you a square, if they see that you're blue, they'll look down on you. So why, oh why, should I bother to care? Thank God I'm normal. Why, oh why, should I bother to care?
Oh, Archie will be glad to see you, won't he, Dad? But why didn't you let us know? I'd have got you something prepared. Are you sure you won't have something?
No, thank you, dear. Well, I told you I just came up on the spur of the moment.
Well, it's lovely to see you, isn't it, Dad?
Mm.
He's pleased. He doesn't have anyone much to talk to, do you? Yeah, he's on his own here half the time. It's not my fault. He won't come to the pictures with me. But you've got to go somewhere. You get bored stiff just sitting indoors. He likes to listen to a play on the wireless. But I'd rather go to the pictures. Now, what about a drink?
Oh, yes, here. I bought you some gin.
Ooh, gin. Oh, you shouldn't have. Look, Dad, she's naughty, isn't she?
Well, she ought to have more sense spending her money.
Well, never mind. She's big-hearted. Hand me a couple of glasses. You're going to have one, aren't you? I don't want one of my own.
All right. Just a small one.
Do you want one, Dad?
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
Quite sure.
Oh, well, suit yourself. Cheerio. Mmm. Oh, that's a nice drop of gin. Some of the muck they give you nowadays tastes like cheap scent. You should hear him going on about the beer. Well, this is nice. I'd have been in earlier, but I stayed and saw a bit of the big picture round again.
What was it like?
Oh, wasn't up to much. You know, they've a lot of rubbish on at the pictures these days. But I'm dreadful. If there's nothing else on, I still go just the same, don't I? Even if it's just to the flea pit round the corner. Oh, yeah, they're closing that place down, by the way. Everything's doing badly. People haven't got the money, have they? I'm at Woolworths now, did I tell you? On the electrical counter. It's not bad. Girls are a bit common, that's all. Oh, Archie will be so pleased to see you. You look a bit peaky around the face. Don't you think she looks a bit peaky, Dad?
She looks all right.
I don't suppose she's eating properly. You know what these young girls are? Graham's all right, is he?
Yes, he's all right.
There's nothing wrong there, is there?
Why don't you mind your bloody business? She'll tell you if she wants to.
She doesn't mind telling me if there's anything, do you?
We had a slight disagreement, nothing more, that's all.
After all, she may not be my own, but I did help to bring her up a little, didn't I? Oh, well, dear, don't take any notice. You'll soon make it up. Men are funny. You don't want to take any notice of them.
I wish I didn't.
That's right. Have another drink. You'll soon feel better. What did you have a row about? Something silly, I bet. You haven't broken off your engagement.
I don't know. Probably.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
I went to the rally in Trafalgar Square last Sunday.
You did what?
I went to the rally in Trafalgar Square.
What for God's sake?
Because, Grandad, somehow, with a whole lot of other people, I managed to get myself steamed up about the way things were going.
You mean about Suez?
Yes.
And you went to Trafalgar Square?
She said so, didn't she?
I should think you want your bloody head examined.
That was more or less Graham's feeling about it. Only he's 50 years younger than you, and he put it a bit differently. It all really started over something I wanted to do. And then it all came out, lots of things. All kinds of bitterness. Things I didn't even know existed.
Good God, I've heard some things in my time. This is what comes of giving them the bloody vote.
Oh, shut up, just for a minute, Dad. You had a row because of something you wanted to do?
Well, it's a complicated story. I think I wrote and told you I was teaching art to a bunch of youth club kids.
That was ages ago.
Nearly a year. I knew someone who'd been doing it. He said it was too much for him and he couldn't stick it any longer. There wasn't any money in it, just a few shillings for a few nights a week. But it was something I thought I really could do. Even if it was just battling a gang of moronic teenagers. The club leader thought I was mad. And so did Graham.
Well, I can't say I blame him, really. It doesn't sound a very nice job. They sound like a real tough crowd to me.
They were. But I think I was getting somewhere. And now Graham wants me to marry him. Now, before he's qualified. He doesn't want me to try something for myself. He doesn't want me to threaten him or his world. He doesn't want me to succeed. I refused him. Oh, then it all came out. Trafalgar Square and everything. You know, I hadn't realised that you could love somebody and want them 24 hours of the day and then suddenly find that you're neither of you even living in the same world. I don't understand that. I just don't understand it. I wish I could. It's frightening. Oh, sorry, Phoebe, I shouldn't be drinking your gin. I bought it for you.
Never mind, dear. Let's have another one.
Oh, all right. How's young Mick? Have you heard from him?
It's funny, really, because they never seem to hit it off so well. Not like you and him or Frank. He's a sensible boy, young Mick. He's very straight. I've lost some sleep this week, I can tell you.
He's a fine boy. When they called him up, he went. No arguments, nothing.
And when they called Frank, he refused. And he went to jail for 6 months. Poor Frank, full of doubts about himself and everybody. With a cold in his head half the year and a weak chest. He said no, and he went to jail for it. Oh, he gave in eventually, but for 6 months of his poor, protected life, he said no. I think that's something. You don't have to measure up young Mick against Frank, Grandad.
Well, I just said that Mick was a good boy.
He is. He's a very good boy. He's a gallant 19-year-old who's fighting for us all, who never somehow learnt to say no, who never wanted to, and I hope to God he comes back safely.
I don't know why they send these boys out to do the fighting. They're just kids, that's all.
Where is Frank?
He plays the piano in one of these late-night drinking places. He doesn't seem to know what to do with himself since he came out of that damn prison. I'll never forget it. Making him go to prison and making him do that job. A boy like him shouldn't be doing it. Hospital porter. Do you know, they made him stoke the boilers. I wonder whether Mick isn't better off after all. I mean, they do look after them, don't they?
Oh, yes, they look after them all right.
Look after them better now than when I was in it.
They're all looking after us. We're all right, all of us. Nothing to worry about. We're all right. God save the Queen.
I played in front of them all. The Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince of Wales, and the... What's the name of that other pub? Blimey, that went bare first house. I've taken the glasses off. I don't want to see you suffering. What about these girls? What about them smashing? I bet you think I have a marvellous time up here with all these girls, don't you?
Right there.
You're dead right. But before we all get carried away, I'm going to sing you a little song. A little song written by the wife's sister, entitled The Old Church Bell Won't Ring Tonight, as the vergers drop to clang. Thank you.
We're all out for good old number one. Number one's the only one for me. Good old England, you're my cup of tea. But I don't want no drab equality. Don't let your feelings roam. But remember, the charity begins at home. For Britons shall be free. Britons shall be free. The national health won't bring you wealth. Those wigs and blooming spectacles are bought by you and me. The army and the navy and the air force are all we need to make the blighters see. It still belongs to you, the old red, white and blue. Those bits of red still on the map, we won't give up without a scrap. What we've got left back, we'll keep and blow. You jackpot! Number one's the only one for me. We're all out for good old number one. Yes, number one's the only one for me. God bless you. Number one's the only one for me. God bless you. Number one's the only one for me.
Women were graceful then. They had mystery and dignity. You know, Jean, when a woman got out of a cab, she descended, and you put your hand out to her smartly to help her down. Look at them today. Have you ever seen a woman get out of a car? Well, have you? Well, I have, and I don't want to see it again, thank you very much. Why, I never saw a woman's legs until I was 19. Didn't know what they looked like. 19.
Aye, aye, women's legs again.
Hello, Dad.
Jean, hello, dear. For a moment, I thought you were the income tax man sitting there. You all right, are you?
Thank you. I have had too much gin waiting for you.
Never mind, you can have some more in a minute. You haven't fixed an hotel, have you?
No, but...
Jolly good. I'm sleeping alone tonight, and you and Phoebe can sleep in my room, and I'll keep on the sofa.
There's a telegram come for you.
Don't you think she looks a bit peaky?
Jean, she looks all right to me. Needs a drink, that's all.
There's a telegram come for you.
You've been on the batter, you old gubbins.
No, I haven't. I've been sitting here talking to Jean.
I should go to bed if you're tired.
I'm not tired. I could see you out any day.
You've been giving him that beastly gin. He sounds like a toastmaster with DTs.
What about this telegram?
One of my creditors. It'll wait. I think they'd know better by this time. Now... what are we going to have? I brought some gin, two, and Dubonnet. Old Phoebe likes that, don't you, dear? She thinks she's being frightfully fashionable when she drinks that.
It seems to suit me. I can't drink gin on its own, not like Archie.
There you go.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Was it all right at the theatre?
No, it wasn't all right at the theatre. Monday night there were 60 sad little drabs in, and tonight there were about 200 sad little drabs.
Oh, Archie.
Go on, have your Dubonnet, dear. Don't get all emotional. Jean, that's yours. Oh. Billy, wake up.
I am awake.
Well, stop yelling then. There's a drink for you.
I don't want a bloody drink.
You look as though you're going to sing a hymn.
I'm tired.
Well, have a drink and go to bed.
I haven't seen the evening paper yet.
If you've won the pools, we can read about it in the morning.
I don't want to sit here and stagnate, even if you do. I want to know what's going on in the world.
Yes, you're amazingly well informed. You know, Jeannie's quite well read for an ignorant old pro.
I'm not an ignorant old pro.
Yes, you are. Now, don't argue and drink up. I'm having a celebration.
Celebration?
What have you got to celebrate about?
Oh, dear.
You haven't got a thing you can call your own, and I'll stop into a penny piece. You'll end up in the bankruptcy court again before Christmas.
Yeah.
And you'll be lucky if you don't land up in jail as well.
Get into bed, Archie. He's overtired.
Go to bed, you're overtired.
I'm not overtired. I don't relish the idea of another jailbird in the family.
Be quiet, Dad. You've had too much to drink.
I could drink you lot under the table.
Here we go.
I used to have half a bottle of three-star brandy for breakfast.
And a pound of steak and a couple of chorus girls.
I leave chorus girls to you.
Don't get excited, Father. You'll wake the neighbours up.
Don't talk to me about that bunch of greasy tomcat, dirty foreigners. One Britisher could always take on half a dozen of that kind, or used to. Doesn't look like it now.
Well, never mind. Don't spoil the party. Now, as I was saying before my ignorant old father interrupted...
There's nothing to be ashamed of in being an old pro. It's more than you'll ever be. You don't know the meaning of the word.
Oh, go to bed, Dad. You're getting silly now.
You had to have personality to be a comedian, then. You had to really be somebody.
The reason for this little celebration is that tomorrow... Oh, it's today now. Today is my 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary? Anniversary of what?
Of my not paying income tax.
The last time I paid income tax was 20 years ago.
In 1936?
That's right, 1936.
They'll get you all right. They always get you in the end, you see.
All right, love, you can sing us a hymn later. I think that is a very significant achievement, and I deserve some kind of tribute for it. Well, Jean, don't you think your old man deserves a tribute?
I was just wondering how you came to pay income tax in 1936.
Ah, bad luck, that's all. I was trapped in hospital with a double hernia.
Oh.
Very nasty it was, too. I thought all my plans for the future were going to be finished at one point. Anyway, I was lying there on my back, wondering whether draft bass on its own was enough to make life worth living, when two men in bowlers and raincoats sprang at me from behind the screens. I think the ward sister must have tipped them off.
Jean's had an upset with Graham.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I should have asked, shouldn't I? I'm afraid I'm a wee bit slewed.
She's broken off her engagement.
Are you really? Well, I should have thought engagements were a bit suburban for intellectuals like you, anyway. You'll be getting a motorcycle and a sidecar next.
Oh, stop poking fun at her, Archie. Be sensible. You can see she's upset.
I'm not upset. And I haven't made a decision about anything yet. I just came up because I wanted to see you all. See how you are. And because I miss you.
That's very sweet of you, dear. I appreciate that. I do, really.
She knows I'm not poking fun at her. Anyway, what's happened with you and Graham?
Your daughter went to that Trafalgar Square circus last Sunday, if you please.
Oh, really? Are you one of those who don't like the Prime Minister? Does he bring you out in spots?
Oh, Christ, I wish I knew what was going to happen to us.
I feel rather like that about that horrible dog downstairs. It brings me out in a rash every time I look at it. There are three things that do that to me. Three things. Nuns, clergymen and dogs.
I don't want to always have to work. I mean, you want a bit of life before it's all over. It takes all the guilt off if you know you've got to go on and on till they carry you out in a box.
Phoebe, don't upset yourself, please. Well, let's enjoy ourselves.
Enjoy myself? You think I don't want to enjoy myself? I'm just sick of being with down and outs. I'm sick of it. People like him.
I wish women wouldn't cry. Jean, try and say something to her.
Why don't you?
I wish I could. I only wish I could.
Come on, Phoebe. Would you like to go to bed?
Yes. I think so, dear, if you don't mind. I think I've overdone it a bit. Archie knows what I'm like. I never could stand too much excitement. I think perhaps I got overexcited at seeing you. It was such a nice surprise. And I'm probably worrying about young Mick. I keep thinking of all that fight.
Get some sleep, love. You'll feel better when you wake up.
All right, dear. I'll get along. It's late anyway. Dad should have been in bed hours ago. He'll be awful tomorrow. Make you go to bed, Archie.
I will. See her up, Jean, will you?
Of course. Come on, Phoebe.
Would you come and say goodnight to me, Archie?
Yes, I'm just going to finish my little celebration. It's my anniversary, remember?
He's funny.
Come on, Phoebe.
Do you want another before you turn in?
No, thank you. I have had sufficient.
Oh, come on, you old gubbins. I know that expression. That's your I'm going to sing a hymn look.
You think I won't?
I'm damn sure you will. All right, let's have a good heartwarmer, then drink up your beer and go to bed.
All right, I will. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master. Right. Oh, Jean.
I want to tell a word with Dad.
Oh, well, I'll leave you to it. Good night, love. Good to see you.
Good night, Grandad.
Good night, son.
Good night, Dad.
Dad? You're keeping something to yourself.
You never miss a thing, do you?
I've had a strange, sick feeling in my stomach all day, as if something was going to happen.
This telegram. I know what it is. Mick's been taken prisoner.
Oh, Dad.
Here, you open it. It's in the paper, actually. They usually get these things before the people who really matter. There was no point in breaking it tonight. Tomorrow's soon enough.
I think I will have some of that gin.
Well, Mick wouldn't want us to cut the celebration short. We'll drink to Mick, and let's hope to God he manages. Mick and the income tax man. With you, it's prime ministers. With me, it's dogs. Nuns, clergymen, and dogs. Did I ever tell you the greatest compliment I had paid to me? I was walking along the seafront here one day. Must be 25 years ago. I was quite a young man. There I was, walking along to meet what I think we used to call a piece of crackling. Or perhaps it was a bit of fluff. No, that was earlier. Anyway, I know I enjoyed it afterwards. But the point is, I was walking along, minding my own business. And two nuns came towards me. Two nuns. Talk to me, Jean.
I knew they couldn't keep him. They wouldn't dare.
Home in a couple of days. I just can't believe it.
They wouldn't dare, not even nowadays. Cock-eyed bunch they are. I remember them from before the war. I was
well,
with that show.
What would they want to keep a boy like that for? That's what I keep asking myself. Can't do them any good, can it?
Grubby lot of rogues. I was a guest at the embassy there, you know. The ambassador gave me a box of Romeo and Juliet cigars. Long ones they were. Haven't had a cigar like that for years.
I just hope Archie won't be disappointed. I'm so afraid everything will go wrong and they won't let Mick come home after all.
Pardon me, Phoebe, but you do talk the most almighty rubbish I've ever had to listen to.
They've given a formal undertaking.
Formal undertaking, my backside. If I thought that boy's future depended on their formal undertaking, we could say thank you very much and good night.
It says here in the paper that they've got an aeroplane standing by, all ready to rush him home.
Formal undertaking. Oh, proper politicians' words, they are. They'd mean damn all if one of our lot said them.
Look, look here. Bring him home. In a matter of a few hours, Sergeant Rice should be speeding homewards in a specially allocated Dakota.
They know damn well they don't do anything else.
Oh, we're going to have ourselves a hero, you can see that.
Any one of us would have done the same thing. There's nothing wrong with any of us. Never has been. You can't all get to the top. You can't make your own luck. Me, I was always lucky, mind you. I was good, too. That ambassador, Sir... somebody... Pearson, his name was. Charming. Absolutely the real best type. He told me I was his favourite artist, barring George Ruby.
What good would it do them hanging on to a kid? That's all he is.
Listen to this. Lieutenant Pearson of Leicester, who had been with Sergeant Rice until a few minutes before he was captured, said he must have killed at least seven of the attackers
before
he was overwhelmed. He must have run out of ammunition, said Pearson. Young Rice wasn't the type to give up.
I don't want Archie to be disappointed, that's all. He's had enough of disappointments. I don't think he ever really gets used to them. Archie's trouble is he builds everything up and he never turns out.
He's a fool.
He's too good for them, that's his trouble. People don't appreciate you properly. Let's finish this bottle up, shall we? Archie will bring some more in with him when he comes.
It's all over. Finished. I told him years ago, but he won't listen. He won't listen to anybody.
Has he said anything to you, Jean?
What about?
Oh, about anything. He never tells me anything now. Just tells me not to worry and says nothing. Frank told me the company only got half salary on Saturday night, and he thinks some people he owes money to must have called up with him.
He said he'd bring me back some cigarettes.
Whenever there's a ring at the door, I don't answer it, in case it's a policeman standing there with another summons.
I could have got them myself by this time. I suppose he's in that rock lift.
Here, Grandad, have one of mine.
It's not a nice feeling when you can't go and answer the door.
There'll be a policeman at the door, all right.
Oh, don't keep interrupting me while I'm talking to Jean.
Thank you. For the cigarette, my dear.
I've upset him now.
No, you haven't. He's just reading, aren't you, Grandad?
Oh, well. It's no good worrying, is it? He says in the papers Mick's coming home, and that's all that really matters. Have a drop of this, dear.
No, thank you.
Well, pour him out a glass, Jean. Mm. Dad exaggerates everything, but he's right, you know. He's right about Archie. He hasn't got an enemy in the world who's done him the harm he's done himself.
There you are, Grandad.
Thank you, Jean. I'll have it later.
Oh, don't have it later. Have it now. This is the time to celebrate. Come on, then. Let's drink to Mick.
Yes. We mustn't sit here getting morbid. No. We're a bit short on the drink, aren't we? I hope Archie won't be long in that place.
Frank's gone with him. He won't be long.
Oh, Frank will see he doesn't get home too late. Frank's a sensible boy. I think you're the only really sensible one of us lot.
Grandad doesn't think so, does he?
He's as bloody dark as the rest of you.
Archie's a fool to himself. Always some big idea he's got to make money. A while back it was female impersonators. Archie said we were going to make a packet. By the time it got started, it had all petered out. Now it's rock and roll. It's like the women.
Oh,
they get tired of him. They come here a few times and that's that.
Why don't you hold your bloody noise?
He doesn't like me talking about it. As if she doesn't know what's been going on all this time.
Well, there's no reason to talk about
She's not soft, are you, dear?
I don't want to hear about it, and I shouldn't think she does.
I was only telling
and
her.
And I'm telling you, don't. There's nothing you can tell her, so hold your noise.
Grandad, please.
Why don't you go back to London to your friends?
Well, don't let's argue.
We're no good to you.
I don't think I want to go back to London.
I was just saying in the course of ordinary conversation that Archie wasn't very lucky, that's all. And if I mention the women, it was just because it's... I suppose men are different. It's more important to them.
Oh, here, I got some more gin. It's just a small bottle to be going on with.
Oh, look what she's done.
I thought I'd best in case Dad was late.
Who do you think you are, a millionaire or something?
But Phoebe's not to have any till she's had something to eat.
Oh, I couldn't eat anything, dear. Honestly, I couldn't hold it down.
I'll get something for you.
No, I couldn't.
Oh, I'm not going to ask
Jean, I've asked you. I can't. I don't want it.
But people have to eat, dear. You've had nothing but tea and cigarettes for days.
Well, if you're going to argue about it, I'm going into the kitchen.
People have to eat, she says. That's not all they have to do. They have to do a whole lot of things. A lot of things you don't even know about.
I know, love. Things have been tough. But be sensible. You've got...
Don't tell me to be sensible, Jean.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like
don't
that.
Don't tell me to be sensible. You're a sweet girl, Jean. I'm very fond of you. But you're not even my own daughter. I wouldn't take that from Mick or Frank. They're my own.
All right, forget it. We'll forget it. We haven't had our drink to Mick yet.
Don't presume too much.
Phoebe, please, I just...
Don't presume too much. Where's Dad got to?
He's probably getting something to eat.
Oh, I don't want him messing about out there. He knows I don't like him going into the kitchen. He leaves everything in such a mess.
Here, have your drink.
Why doesn't Archie come back? You'd think he'd come back here and celebrate after hearing his son is safe and on his way home. I don't know. You people...
Come along, Phoebe, don't let's have a row. And over nothing, it's silly.
It's not silly! Anyway, who said we were having a row? All I said was I wasn't hungry and you start getting at me.
I wasn't getting at
you. You people, you're all alike.
Believe me, Phoebe, I wasn't.
I can't eat because I feel sick. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like because we tried to do our best by you. Oh, Archie tried to do his best by you, even if it didn't add up to very much. Not that you weren't a good girl. You worked hard. You deserved it. You've always tried. And you've got what it takes. That's more than any of us have got, my dear. You're the only one of us who has. You and young Mick. And the old man, of course. He had it. Not that it's any use to him now. It's just a has-been, I suppose. Still, it's better to be a has-been than a never-was. His other son's the same, old Bill. Archie's brother. Not that you'd think he was. There's no flies on brother Bill.
He's a barrister, that's why you like him so much.
I like him because he's a gentleman. He's different from your father. even if they did go to the same force school and all that. I like him because of the way he treats me. He talks to me beautifully. You should hear the way he calls me Phoebe.
I only saw him a couple of times.
He didn't approve of the way Archie carried on. Sometimes in the early days he'd come and see us. He always slipped a couple of fivers in my hand before he left. And he'd just say, not a word to Archie now. I remember he came once and Archie and me didn't have a bean. Bill heard that Archie was in trouble again. This time it was something serious. He tried to pass a dud check and he picked the wrong person or something. Anyway, Bill came over. We were living in some bloody digs in Brixton. And the kids in the street made a terrible mess of his car when I saw what they'd done to it. I felt so ashamed and I burst out crying. He patted my arm in that way of his and said, I'm so sorry, Phoebe. I really am. I'm afraid it's always going to be like this. Well, he got Archie out of whatever it was, and that was that. It wasn't the money. Always helping Archie, although I was grateful for that, of course. It was the way he spoke to me, in that quiet, gentlemanly way. And the way he patted my arm.
Yes, I can see him doing it.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing, dear. Well, let's not talk about it.
What do you mean by that remark?
Oh, it's just that I can see Brother Bill patting your arm, slipping that £10 in your hand and then driving off to have dinner at his club. That's all, Phoebe. Now, let's not talk about it anymore.
You mean he was just sorry for me, don't you?
No, I don't.
Come on, say it. You mean he was just sorry for me?
I didn't mean that. Now, come on.
All right. Here we are.
Hello. I want to know what you meant.
My dear, nobody can tell you what they mean. You ought to know that by now.
Shut up a minute, Archie. I'm talking to Jean. She knows what I mean.
You know what she means?
You know what I mean, don't you?
I can see we should have stayed, Frank.
Frank.
Hello, love.
Shall I tell you something?
Phoebe, what are you doing?
Shall I?
It's just that I know exactly how Uncle Bill patted your arm. Just in the same way as he'd wait on the men at Christmas when he was in the army. So democratic, so charming, so English.
Oh, Bill's all right. Just doesn't understand people like us, that's all. And what's more, he doesn't want to. Can't blame him, really.
Jean doesn't like him, do you? I knew you didn't like him.
Like now. Brother Bill wouldn't understand all this at all. He'd be frightfully embarrassed, wouldn't he?
You can't afford not to like him. You owe him too much.
Sounds a pretty good reason for not liking anyone.
He's something you'll never be.
And I'm something he'll never be. Good old Bill. Do you know that my brother Bill has had one wife, no love affair, and he's got three charming, gifted children. Two of them took honours degrees at Cambridge, and all of them have made what people call highly successful marriages.
What on earth's everybody talking about? I thought we were going to have a party.
It's perfectly true. I read it in the Telegraph today. I got bored reading about young Mick.
Don't
and
tell
there,
me you read the
tucked
Telegraph.
Away in the middle. Of course I read it. How else would I know whether my relations were getting married or dying or having babies? As I was saying.
Before you were so rudely interrupted.
Yes, before that. Young Sonia's getting married.
Who to?
Oh, the son of some industrialist, Captain Charlie. Double back action, hyphen breech loading, gore of Elm Lodge, Shrewsbury gloss. Where are all the glasses? For God's sake, good old Bill, he's got everything he wants now, including Captain Charlie, double back action, gore.
Archie, I'm talking to Jean.
I thought that's what you were doing. I sized the situation up in a flash.
Oh, it's easy for people like you to make fun. I left school when I was 12 years old.
Christ, if she tells me that once more, I shall scream.
You had to pay sixpence a week, then.
Leave her alone, you old bastard. Come on, Mum, we're going to have a party.
I'm talking to Jean.
Yes, we were in on that. Why don't we all talk to Jean? We don't see much of her, but let's first have a drink. If I'm going to be either very diplomatic or very tactful, I must have plenty to drink.
We had to pay sixpence a week, and most weeks my mother
This is a welfare state, my darling heart. Nobody wants and nobody goes without. All are provided for.
Without scrubbing the dining hall.
Everybody's all right. Young Mick's all right. Bill's all right. Frank's all right. He won't be stoking boilers much longer, will you, boy?
I wish you'd both shut up.
Jean's all right. She'll make it up with Graham and forget about silly old Trafalgar Square and prime ministers who look like dogs downstairs. Here's your drink, dear.
You don't understand.
Phoebe scrubbed a dining hall floor for 500 kids when she was 12 years old, didn't you?
Oh!
And do you know, have you any idea how often she's told me about those 500 kids in that dining hall?
Oh, shut up.
Yes, son, I'll shut up. Pass this drink to Jean. She looks as though she can use it.
I can.
You've been away too long, Jean. Every night is party night.
And do you know why? Do you know why? Because we are down and outs and drunks. We're crazy, the whole flaming bunch of us. We don't get on with anything. We never succeed in anything. We're a nuisance. We do nothing but make a God Almighty fuss about anything we ever do. All the time we're trying to draw someone's attention to our nasty, sordid, unlikely little problems, like that poor
pathetic old thing there.
Who are you talking about?
Look at her. What has she got to do with people like Eugene? People of intellect and sophistication. She's very drunk, and just now her muzzy, underdeveloped, untrained mind is racing because her bloodstream is full of alcohol I can't afford to give her. And she's going to force us to listen to all sorts of dreary, embarrassing things we've heard 100 times before. She's getting old, and she's worried about who's going to keep her when she can't work any longer.
What's he talking about?
She wants to tell you that old brother Bill paid for all your education. That scholarship didn't pay for the things that really mattered, the books, the fares, the clothes, and all the rest of it. Bill paid for that. For all of you. Frank knows that, don't you, Frank? I'm sorry, Phoebe. I've killed your story. Old Archie could always kill anybody's punchline if he wanted.
She doesn't know about Mick and you and me.
She'll find out. We always find these things out in time. Frank, Jean, love, she's tired and she's getting old. All she's got is me, and my God, she's tired of that. Aren't you, my old darling? You're tired of that, aren't you?
I tried to make something of myself. I've really tried. I was nothing much to look at. A plain kid. No, I wasn't even plain. I was the ugliest bloody kid you ever saw in your life. But I made something of myself. I did try to do something. I made him want me anyway.
Everyone shouts. Please, somebody speak quietly, just for once. Those bloody poles downstairs will be up here in a minute. If we're going to have a row, can we please have a quiet row?
It was a long time ago. Frank, I wish you'd stop yelling. I can't hear myself shout. Sing one of your songs. There's a good boy. Where's the old man?
He's in the kitchen.
Billy, come out of there. Who's he got in there? Something he picked up in the pub? Jean, love, don't you wish you were back with old Graham?
Frank, he's going to bring up one of those women, isn't he? Mom. Isn't it? In here, isn't
now,
he?
Now, Phoebe.
Do you think I don't lie awake upstairs and hear it going on?
Of course they know. They know what sort of bastard I am, love. They know as well as you do. Well, almost as well. She'll be all right, won't you, love? Dad, come in here.
What?
There you are, you old has-been.
What's the matter with you, love?
We're all just waiting for the little yellow van to come.
Did you get my cigarettes?
Except for Jean. There's still hope for her.
My cigarettes?
Here you are.
You've been to that cake.
What?
You've been to my cake, haven't you?
Well, I was hungry.
The cake was for Mick. I bought it for Mick when he comes home.
Well, never mind.
What do you mean, never mind?
Mick wouldn't mind.
Well, I mind. I mind very much. Why couldn't you leave it alone?
Well, I just...
It wasn't for you.
Phoebe, forget it. We'll buy another one.
Oh, you'll buy another one. You're so rich. You're such a big success. What's a little cake? We'll order a dozen of them. I bought that cake and it cost me 30 shillings. It was for Mick when he comes back because I want to give him something. Something I know he'll like after being where he's been and going through what he has. And now that bloody greedy old pig has to go and get his great fingers into it. Oh.
I'm going to my room.
You needn't have done that, Phoebe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Archie. Try and forgive me.
Come on, love, pull yourself together. That's what we should have done years ago. Pulled ourselves together. Let's pull ourselves together, together, together. Let's pull ourselves together, and the happier we will be.
That's right, come chaps. On. Remember, we're British.
Yeah, now let's fill up and be happy. What about old Mick, eh?
Yes, what about old Mick?
Yes.
Don't look so glum, Jean. You know what everybody's like.
Do I?
We're all a bit slewed, which means we're a bit more subhuman than we usually are.
Perhaps Dean doesn't want to have a drink, and do you know why?
Know why?
Because I don't think she even likes him. I don't think she likes me.
There's no reason why she should, but that won't stop her or me. Frank, go and talk to the old man and get him to come back.
Righto.
We'll try to be a little normal just for once and pretend we're a happy, respectable, decent family. For Mick's sake. You know, I really think that's what he'd like somehow. I'm sure he thinks we're rather dreadful. Don't worry, Jean, you won't have to put up with this kind of thing for long any more than Mick. And this is Mick's party. Phoebe, let's see you do your dance. She dances jolly well, you know, don't you, you poor old thing? And Frank can sing us a song. Let's make it a party. Mick the soldier's coming back. Let's just whoop it up!
Here, I've just seen a man with a lemon stuck in his ear. A lemon stuck in his ear. So I went up to him, I said, what are you doing with that lemon stuck in your ear? And he says, Well, you know that man with the hearing aid? Well, I'm the man with the lemonade. Thank you for that burst of heavy breathing. But I have a go, lady, don't I? I have a go. Here, here. Did I tell you about the wife? Did I? My wife, not only is she stupid, not only is she stupid, but she's cold as well. Oh, yes, cold. She may look sweet, but she's a very cold woman, my wife. Cold and stupid. She's what they call a moron glacé. Don't clap too hard. It's a very old building. Well, I have a go, don't I? I do. I have a go. Look at me. It's all real, you know me. All real, nothing shoddy. You don't think I'm real, do you? Well, I'm not. I'm not going to deprive you of the treat I know you've all been waiting for. Yes. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing you a little song written by myself. A little song called My Girl's Always Short of Breath, but she don't mind a good blow through.
Now I'm just an ordinary bloke, the same as you out there. Not mad for women, not a soak. I never really care. Thank God I'm normal, normal, normal. Thank God I'm normal, I'm just like the rest of you chaps. Thank God I'm normal, I'm just like the rest of you chaps. Decent and full of good sense, I'm not one of these extremist chaps. For I'm sure you'll agree that a fellow like me is the salt of our dear old country, of our dear old country. But when our heritage is threatened, at home or across the sea, it's chaps like us, yes, you and me, who'll march again to victory. Some people say we're finished. Some people say we're done. But if we all stand by this dear old land, the battle will be won. Thank God we're normal, normal, normal. So thank God we're normal. We are the country's flower. And when the great call comes, someone will gaze down on us and say, they made no fuss, for this was their finest shower. Yes, this was their finest shower. And thank God we're normal, normal, normal. Thank God we're normal. Yes, this is our finest shower.
She'd steal your knickers and sell them for dusters.
Who? Mrs. Roberts, number 7, Clay Pit Lane, always used to say that.
Who are you talking about, you bloody right-wing old pope?
I'm talking about that blonde bitch at the Rose and Crown, the one who's always upsetting your granddad. And don't call me a right-wing old poop.
I remember Mrs. Roberts. She was very nice to us.
Maybe an old poop, but I'm not a right-wing.
I used to have digs in Clay Pit Lane. 10 shillings a week all in.
Frank, I thought you were going to sing.
If you can dodge all the clichés dropping like bats from the ceiling, you might pick up something from me.
Well, plenty of others have picked it up from you.
Just remember I'm your father.
When did you ever remember it?
Frank, come on now, be a good boy.
You want to be more like Jean.
She's just not used to us anymore, are you, love? Are you all right?
I'm all right.
You feeling better, Phoebe?
Yes, thank you, dear. Come over here and give me a kiss.
Mum.
Oh, he's a good boy to me, aren't you, dear? Even when I act a bit daft. But we all act a bit daft sometimes, I suppose.
Except Jean.
Will you please stop trying to make me feel as if I were from another planet or something?
Archie's just pulling your leg, aren't you, Archie? All right, Dad.
Yes, thank you, Phoebe.
Archie, put something in his glass. It's nearly empty.
I was just trying to remember the name of that woman.
What woman?
The one in Clay Pit Lane. She used to give us bacon every morning for breakfast, and she'd melt cheese over it. First time I'd ever had it.
Is he all right?
He's all right. He's all right. He's thinking about the landlady in Claypit Lane.
She always used to put cheese over the bacon.
The girl I love is up in the lavatory.
Oh, no.
The girl I love is looking down on me.
No, don't do that, Archie. Don't sing it like that. He always used to sing that song. It was his favourite, I think.
Can you sing it?
Me? I can't sing. I don't even know if I can remember the words.
Go on, love.
Oh, shall I, Archie?
Why not?
Oh, all right, then. Oh, the boy I love, he's up in the gallery. The boy I love is looking down at me. Where is he? There is he. Waving off his handkerchief, happy as the robin that sings on the tree.
Yeah!
Oh, is that a bloody awful, I expect.
Well, I'm going to bed.
Already?
I only sat up to drink a toast to young Mick. I'm going to bed before you get those bloody poles up here. Good night.
Good night, Dad. I suppose I ought to go in a minute. I feel a bit tired. No. I shan't go into work tomorrow. Of course not. Who's Claire?
I should go to bed, dear.
Well, just a minute. I'm going to read her Claire's letter. Now, Claire's my niece in Toronto. She's my brother John's daughter. Oh, they're all over there now. My brother John as well. That he started off in the restaurant business 4 years ago with $500. Now they've got a hotel in Toronto. And they're going to open another one.
Jean's not interested in all that horse manure about Canada.
Of course she's interested. She doesn't mind, do you? No, they've opened one hotel in Toronto. And now they're going to open another hotel in Ottawa. My brother John is managing the one in Toronto for them, but they want us to go out there and for Archie to manage the hotel in Ottawa.
What do I know about hotels? All I've lived in is digs.
But he gets cross if I mention it.
For God's sake, don't say I get cross if you mention it. You've mentioned it, haven't you? And I'm not cross. I just think it's a bloody pointless idea.
When did they write this to you?
About a fortnight ago.
What about the boys?
Well, they can come too if they want. I don't know about Mick, but Frank likes the idea.
Do you, Frank?
Look around you. Can you think of any good reason for staying in this cosy little corner of Europe? If anyone's going to let you do anything or try anything here, Jeannie, because they're not. You haven't got a chance. Who are you? You're nobody. You're nobody, you've no money and you're young. And when you end up, it's pretty certain you'll still be nobody. You'll still have no money. The only difference is you'll be old. You better start thinking about number one, Jeannie, because nobody else is going to do it for you. Why? Because nobody believes in that stuff anymore. They're all so busy speeding down the middle of the road together, not giving a damn where they're going, as long as they're in the bloody middle. A rotten bastard.
Shh, you'll wake up the poles.
Somebody should wake you up.
You should go to bed.
You and that blonde bitch in the Rose and Crown. You and her. Like a monkey up a tree, I don't think. I'm going to bed.
Good night, boy.
Good night.
Rock of ages left to me.
Anyway, you can't buy draft bass in Toronto.
This is what she says. She talks about us coming out and paying our fare, etc. And then the job in Ottawa. Experience isn't necessary. It's having your own people. She says, we have a 21-inch TV set, a radio, etc., and now we have a car with automatic shift and all the fancy gadgets everyone goes in for over here. I'm quite sure that you and Archie would settle down in no time and everything would work out fine. I thought you'd like to hear what she said.
Yes, thank you.
Are you staying up much longer, Archie?
I'm just going.
Well, I think we're all tired. I can't take all this excitement anymore. Good night, dear. Forgive me for being a bit silly, won't you?
Forget it. Good night.
Good night, Archie.
I'll come up and say good night.
Oh, thank you, dear. We'll have to find him somewhere to sleep, won't we?
Mick? Oh, he can bed down here with me.
Well, yes. I expect he'll be fagged out, poor kid. Oh, well.
He won't be long now.
I went to Canada during the war.
Yeah, I remember.
Couldn't get any draft bass. Not even in Toronto, and they seemed to reckon that was pretty English. Didn't seem very English to me. I can't get over you going to a rally in Trafalgar Square. Did you really care about all that?
I thought I did at the time.
Like draft bass and women, eh? Did I ever tell you my nun's story? They just took one look at me. I can remember their white, unhealthy faces and their little eyes. They took one look at me and together, at the same time, quite spontaneously, they crossed themselves. They crossed themselves! And that was the biggest compliment I was ever paid in my whole life. Let's have some more of this, right?
Sure.
You are having trouble with Phoebe tonight.
It was nothing much. She just seemed to suddenly turn on me.
Your mother caught me in bed with Phoebe. I expected you to say something more than that.
What do you want me to do, hold a rally in Trafalgar Square?
All my children think I'm a bum.
Perhaps we should go to bed.
No, stay up for a while. You'd just been born, and your mother found Phoebe and me together. Poor old Phoebe. She never even enjoyed it much. Your mother walked out. She walked out just like that. She was what you call a person of principle. She knew how people should behave, and there were no two ways about it. She never forgave me.
You didn't love her?
Yes, I loved her. I was in love with her, whatever that may mean. Anyway, a few months later, she was dead, and that was that. She felt everything very deeply, your mother, much more deeply than I did. Perhaps we could have worked it out between us. Did I ever tell you the most moving thing that I ever heard? It was when I was in Canada. And one night I heard some negress singing in a bar. Now, you're going to smile at this. You're going to smile your educated English head off, because I suppose you've never sat lonely and half-slewed in some bar among strangers a thousand miles from anything you think you understand. But if I ever saw any hope or strength in the human race, it was in the face of that old fat negress getting up to sing about Jesus or something like that. She was poor and lonely and oppressed like nobody you've ever known, or me, for that matter. I never even liked that kind of music, but to see that old whore singing her heart out to the whole world, you knew somehow in your heart that it didn't matter how much you kick people, how much you despise them. If they can stand up and make a pure, natural noise like that, there's nothing wrong with them, only with everybody else. I've never heard anything like that since. There's nobody here can feel like that. I wish to God I could. I wish to God I could feel like that old black bitch with her fat cheeks and sing. If I'd done one thing as good as that in my whole life, I'd have been all right. Better than all your getting on with the job without making a fuss and all that, or doing something constructive, and your rallies in Trafalgar Square. I wish to God I were that old bag. I'd lift up my head and I'd make the most beautiful fuss in the world. Dear God, I would. But I'll never do it. I don't give a damn about anything, not even women or draft bass. You see this face? This face can split open with warmth and humanity. It can sing and tell the worst, unfunniest stories in the world to a great mob of dead drabberks, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because look at my eyes. I'm dead behind these eyes. I'm dead, just like the whole inert, shoddy lot out there. It doesn't matter, because I don't feel a thing, and neither do they. We're all just as dead as each other.
Dad.
Tell me something. Tell me something. What would you say to a man of my age marrying a girl of, oh, about your age? Don't be shocked. I told you, I don't feel a thing.
You're not serious. You couldn't do a thing like that.
You've been away from your old dad a bit too long. We've never seen much of each other, have we? Well, never mind.
You couldn't do that to Phoebe. Not a divorce.
Children. Children. They're like the bloody music hall. Don't worry about your old man. He's still a bit worried about young Mick.
At least I suppose he is. I told you, nothing really touches me. As the man said, I've paid me money. I defy yous to entertain me. Let anyone get up there and give a performance. I don't care how good it is. Old Archie, dead behind the eyes, is sitting on his hands. He's lost his responses on the way. You wouldn't think I was sexy to look at me, would you? Well, I have a go, lady. I have a go. Don't I? I do. I have a go. That barmaid in the Rose and Crown. That barmaid who upset poor old Billy. I had her. When he wasn't looking.
Archie. Here's a policeman at the door for you.
It's the income tax man.
A policeman? What do you think he wants?
It's the income tax man. I've been expecting him for 20 years.
I thought you had someone in here.
Just me and my daughter. Me and my daughter Jean, by my first love. Why don't you go back to London? Say, aren't you glad you're normal? I've always been a seven-day-a-week man myself, haven't I, Phoebe? A seven-day-a-week man. I always needed a jump at the end of the day and at the beginning, too, usually. Well, it's everybody's problem, unless you're like Mick and have got no problem. Well, he had a problem, but now he's on his way. Yes, that's a boy without problems. I'm a seven-day-a-week man myself, twice a day. Poor old Phoebe. Don't look so scared, love. Archie's drunk again.
Dad!
It's only the income tax, man.
Dad! The bastards! The rotten bastards! They've killed him! They've killed Mick! Those bloody bastards! They've murdered him! The rotten bastards!
Oh, Lord, I don't care where they bury my body. No, I don't care where they bury my body, 'cause my soul's going to live with God.
Well, that's that.
Poor Mick.
My Aunt Rosie always used to say the same thing after a funeral. Well, they gave him a good send-off. Always said it without fail.
Poor old Rosie.
I used to wonder what would happen if she didn't say it.
Old Rosie and me used to have some good times together. Used to go out a lot before we were both married.
Are you all right, Phoebe?
Yeah, Mum, let me take your coat.
Thank you, dear. I'm all right. A bit tired.
What a place London was then for having a good time. Best place in the world for a laugh. People were always ready to laugh, give you a welcome. Best audience in the world.
I was in a little village in Donegal once. The morning we arrived there, a man came up to me and he said, "Oh, we're great students of the drama here. Great students of the drama. Our dramatic critics can lick anyone, anyone." Turned out he was the local blacksmith. He said, "If you can get past an audience here, you'll get past any audience in the world." It was true, too. I got a black eye.
London, that was the place. Old Rosie, she was a beautiful woman. Mm. I'm glad she's not here now.
Have you seen this stuff in the papers about Mick? How can you compete against it?
You can't.
Why didn't somebody get a picture of you stoking your boilers?
I don't think Mick would have taken it too seriously.
Everybody's tired.
Oh, everybody's tired, all right. Everybody's tired. Everybody's standing about loitering without any intent whatsoever, waiting to be picked up by whatever they may allow to happen to us next.
Jesus, don't start getting emotional.
Oh, I don't expect you to.
That's right.
But Frank's different. At least I hope he is. You don't have to be afraid, Frank. You needn't worry about being emotional like my talented fiancé. You won't die of it.
Old Mick was a bit like Graham, actually. He seemed to know what he wanted and where he was going.
Oh, did he now?
I remember he was having an affair with a girl called Sylvia. He was about 16 at the
time. What's the matter with you, Archie?
Why don't you leave him alone?
That's right. Why don't you leave your old man alone?
Oh, you've been left alone, all right.
Shall I tell you? All my life I've been searching for something. I've been searching for a draft bass you can drink all the evening without running off every 10 minutes, that you can get drunk on without feeling sick and all for fourpence. Now, the man who could offer me all of that would really get my boat, he really would. Oh, well, I could always make a woman better than I could make a point.
You know, Archie, you're a bit of a bastard.
Jean.
You really are.
A bastard on wheels?
Because I don't care about anything except draft bass. Listen, kiddie, you're going to find out that in the end, nobody really gives a damn about anything except some little animal something. And for me, that little animal something is draft bass. Now, why can't you stop attacking everyone?
I can't.
What do you think you are, a dose of salts?
I owe it to myself.
Well, I never really believed in all that inner cleanliness anyway. Did I leave a bottle of beer in here last night?
I don't think so, dear.
If you're not careful, Jean, people will start putting labels on you, and then you'll just be nobody like the rest of us.
Frank will get you some. There's some beer in the kitchen. Would you mind, dear?
Sure.
You're like everybody else, but worse. You think you can cover yourself by simply not bothering. You think if you don't bother, you can't be humiliated. So you just roar your life out in four-letter words and hope that somehow the perks will turn up.
Leave him alone. He's just as upset as you are, so shut up. Here you are, Dad. I'll open it, shall I?
Thanks, son.
I'll give you the Archie Rice story. All right.
I didn't like the clergyman anyway. I really hated him. He was as Chloe as all get-out. Did you notice?
Oh, you don't fool me. You don't fool pussy.
Go on, insult me. I don't mind. One thing I discovered a long time ago, most people never know when they're being insulted, and a whole lot of people make a whole lot of money out of that principle. I'm as dim as a bucket, really. You know, I'm no better than the rest of them.
Oh, now, don't start being humble.
I am humble. I am very humble. In fact, I still have a little dried pea of humility rattling around inside me. I don't think you have.
And that's just about all.
What's the matter with her? Thanks. Don't ask me, son, don't ask me. I've never solved a problem in my life.
You haven't got the nous. You've been too busy hating all those feckless moochers out there in the great darkness, haven't you? You've been really smart. Frank, I'd like you to know the truth about your father.
Listen, Mick's just been buried. He's buried and nobody wants to start talking about it or having rows.
What do you want, 2 minutes silence? Not only is your father generous, understanding and sympathetic, he doesn't give a damn about anyone. He's two penneth of nothing.
Yes, I should say that sums me up pretty well.
You don't need to look at me, Frank. I've lost a brother too.
I think I'll go and lie down. Jean, whatever your father may have done, he's always been good to me. Always.
Shall I bring you up an aspirin?
Thank you, dear. If you wouldn't mind.
Dad, you can't divorce her. I won't let you.
You want some beer, Grandad?
No, I'm going to bed. I've got to be out early tomorrow. What time did you say?
About 9.
Where are you going?
Your father and I have got some business together. Seems funny, all those people taking their hats off to young Mick today.
Most of them weren't wearing hats anyway.
Yeah, when I was younger, every man used to take his hat off when he passed the cenotaph, even in the bus. Nowadays, I've watched people just go past it, not even a look. If you took the flags off of it, I expect they'd sit down and eat their sandwiches on it.
I was just thinking of young Mick and Sylvia. She was a nice, attractive little kid. I wonder if she's read about him in the papers, being a national hero and getting killed. I shouldn't think she'd have forgotten him already, would you?
Mm. I shouldn't think so.
I remember being worried about Sylvia. I had an idea she was underage. It worried me just a bit. I tried to tackle Mick about it, but he didn't really take me seriously. I hummed and hawed, and finally I said, "Well, look, boy, I obviously don't have to tell you to take precautions." He just grinned like the clappers. And I suddenly felt like some weird old clergyman. So I just said to him, "Well, anyway, you do know what the age of consent is, don't you?" And he sat there with that great, awful grin on his face and said, 16.
Where are you taking Billy tomorrow?
I think I'll have to go back to Brighton and become a beachcomber.
I better take these aspirins up to her.
Frank, you know what he's trying to do?
Edlin's, that was the place. All over Brighton. You could get nicely oiled on their draft cider for a few pence.
Why don't you leave them alone, Jean?
Haven't tried it for years. How much was it?
Frank, he thinks he's going to divorce her. He thinks he's going to divorce Phoebe. I've seen her, this girl he wants to marry. He's crazy. That's what he is. What's going to happen to Phoebe?
What's going to happen to any of us?
Have you seen this girl? She's a professional virgin.
I'll take these aspirins up.
I wonder what it's like now. How much did it used to be?
What?
Draft cider, you old gubbins.
How the bloody hell should I know? I've never drunk the stuff.
Yes, it's a bit acid, I suppose.
Not a penny, I should say. A penny a pint.
It'd be about a bob now, I expect. Might as well drink beer.
She's pretty, she's spoilt, she's vain, and she's stupid. And her parents are probably stupid.
Well, it must be to produce her, Miss Nothing of 1956.
That's right.
How old is she?
20.
20? They're so stupid, I suppose they'll even let her marry you.
You know, I think I've only slept with one passionate woman. What I'd call really passionate. And she was happily married. Her name was Ivy.
I suppose you think you'll get them to put up some money for you.
That was the idea.
You're going to get her to put a ring through your nose and tell yourself you won't feel it because nothing matters to you anymore. And nobody else does either. You think because you can't get her, nobody else can. What about Phoebe?
Ivy Williams, that was her name. Mrs. Ivy Williams.
Well, I'm off. Who are we seeing? Rubens?
Klein.
Charlie Klein. I was in the first show he ever put on the road. You know that?
12:30.
He was younger than Jeannie here. Yeah?
He's a tough bastard.
Oh, Charlie should be all right. It was me made him sign up Eddie Drummer.
Uh-huh.
Good artist, Eddie.
Yeah.
Been earning $1,000 a week now for 25 years, and just the same. He always had style, Eddie, and never any real suggestion of offence in anything he did. We all had our own style, our own songs, and we were all English. What's more, we spoke English. It was different. We all knew what the rules were, and even if we spent half our time making people laugh at them, we never seriously suggested that anyone should break them. A real pro is a real man. All he needs is an old backcloth behind him, and he can hold them on his own for half an hour. Well, Eddie's still up there all right.
Oh, yes.
One of the really great ones. I should say he's probably the last. Yes. Probably the last.
What are you doing? What are you going to do to him? You're not going to put him back into the business.
Rubens and Klein, 12:30 tomorrow morning.
You're going to kill that old man just to save that no-good, washed-up, tatty show of yours.
It isn't just to save that no-good, tatty show of mine. It's to save your no-good, tatty dad from going to jail. People may not come to see Archie, but they may still remember Billy Rice. It's worth a try, anyway.
Are you going to destroy that, too? He's the only one of us who has any dignity or respect for himself. He's the only one of us who has anything at all. And you're going to murder him. You're going to take him down to... Who is it? Rubens and Klein tomorrow morning at 12:30. And you're going to let Mr. Rubens and Mr. Klein sign his death certificate. How on earth did you ever get him to do such a thing? What's happened to his sense of self-preservation?
He feels he owes it to me.
Owes it to you? Billy doesn't owe you or anyone anything.
You know, the professional virgin in the Rockcliffe. He went and told them I was a married man with 3 grown-up children. 3 acknowledged, anyway, but I don't suppose old Billy needed to mention the rest of them.
He scotched it.
Oh, yes. Completely. So you see, Jeannie, love, old Archie isn't going to get his oats after all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Rice will not appear tonight. Billy Rice will not appear again. I wish I could sing a song for him in his place, a farewell, but unfortunately, I can't. Nobody can. None of us, anyway.
Quite honestly, Jean, I don't mean to be rude, but I can't see what you can possibly have in common with any of them.
You can't.
Well, they're your family and all that, but there comes a point when you just don't have any more responsibility to people.
Graham.
It's your background, of course, but there are better, more worthwhile things in life.
I'm sorry, Graham. I'm staying with Phoebe. I told you I'd really made my mind up before I left. I can't marry you, and I don't want to anymore. Anyway, I've got to stay here. Now that Billy's dead, Phoebe needs someone with her. Frank's off to Canada in a couple of weeks.
Jean, listen to me.
We live differently, Graham. You and I don't even draw breath in the same way.
Oh, this is just rubbish. No. You're no different from me. You were in love with me. You said so. We enjoyed ourselves together. We could make a good thing of it. I've got quite a decent career lined up. We would have everything we want. Come back, Jean.
I'm sorry, Graham. I can't.
Thank you.
Jean thinks I killed him.
You didn't kill Dad, Archie. You don't kill people that easily.
Our dad was such a sweet old man. He really was, Bill. Do you know who said that? Charlie Klein. Charlie Klein said old Billy was the nicest old man in the business. And still a first-class performer. One of the really great.
Look, Archie, this is the last chance for you. It's got to be Canada. You and Frank and Phoebe can all go out together. Your passages are all booked. I've got the tickets here. They're yours. You can go out and start a new life. The three of you.
You can't get draft bass into Toronto. I've tried it.
I'll pay all your debts. I'll settle everything.
What happens if I don't go?
I'm not doing anything for you to stay here, Archie. Not anymore. You'll just have to take the consequences. It's Canada or jail.
Do you know, I always thought I should go to jail. I should think it must be quite interesting. Sure to meet someone I know. Do you know what my landlady in Fulham used to say about you?
No.
She used to say, your brother Bill looks like a governor's man. Always said it without fail.
The tickets are yours, Archie. Take them.
You can never get anything at this Labour Exchange anyway. They must have more bums in this place than any other town in England. Oh, well, thanks anyway. Just two more performances. It's a pity, though. I should have liked to notch up 21 years against the income tax man. I'll never make my 21st now. It would have been fun to get a key in the door somehow.
I'm sorry, Archie. I've given up trying to understand you.
We're all out for good old number one. Number one's the only one for me. Good old England, you're my cup of tea. But I don't want no drab equality. Don't let your feelings roam. But remember, the charity begins at home. What we've got left back, we'll keep and blow you, Jack. Number one's the only one for me. God bless you, number one's the only one for me.
I've just come to tell you about the wife. She's gone back to her husband. She has. Straight. Don't clap too hard. We're in a very old building. Yes, very old.
You wouldn't think I was sexy to look at me, would you?
No, honestly, you wouldn't, would you, lady? I always reckon you feel stronger after it. Say, your jelly roll is fine, but it don't compare with mine. There's a bloke at the side here with a hook. You know that, don't you? He is. He's standing there. I can see him. Must be the income tax man. Life's funny, though, isn't it? It is. Life's funny. It's like sucking a sweet with the wrapper on. Oh, well, we're all in the fertilizer business now, I suppose. Well, I'd rather have a glass of beer any day. I would. You don't believe me, but I would. You think I'm gone, don't you? Go on, say it. You think I'm gone. Well, I am. What's the matter? You feeling cold up there? Before I do go, ladies and gentlemen, I should just like to tell you a little story. It's about a man, just a little ordinary man like you and me, and one day he woke up and found himself in paradise. Well, he looks up and he sees a fella standing next to him. It turns out that this fella is a saint. He's on the welcoming committee. And the saint says to him, well, he says, you're now in paradise. Am I? He said, you are, says the saint. What's more, you have earned yourself eternal happiness. Have I? You most certainly have, says the saint. Can't you hear the multitudes? Why, everyone is singing. Everyone is joyful. What do you say, my son? So the little man took a look around him at all the multitudes of the earth spread out against the universe, and all the hosts of heaven and all the rest of it. All the wonder and the joy of eternity is round about you, said the saint. You mean this is all eternity and I'm in paradise? That is so, my son. Well, what do you have to say? So the little man looks around him again and he says, I've often wondered what I'd say if this ever happened to me. And the saint smiled at him kindly and says again, and what do you say, my son? There's only one thing I can say, says the little man. And he said it. Well, the saint looked as if he'd been struck across the face by some great hand. The host stopped singing and all the angels hid their faces. And for a tiny splash in eternity, there was no sound at all in paradise. The saint couldn't speak for a while, and then he threw his arms around the little man and kissed him. And he said, I love you, my son. With all my soul, I shall love you always. I've been waiting to hear that word ever since I came here. Oh, well, I have a go, don't I? I have a go.
Why should I care? Why should I let it touch me? Why shouldn't I sit down and try to let it pass over me? Why should I let it get me? What's the use of despair?
If they say that you're blue, they'll look down on you. So why, oh why, should I bother to care?
Here's your coat, Archie. Come on.
You've been a good audience, a very good audience. Let me know where you're working tomorrow night, and I'll come and see you.
In The Entertainer by John Osborne, adapted for radio by John Foley, Archie Rice was played by Bill Nighy. Billy Rice was David Bradley, Phoebe, Cheryl Campbell, Jean, Sarah Jane Holm, and Frank, Bertie Carvel. Graham was David Thorpe, and Brother Bill, Philip Fox. Musical direction was by Colin Sell. The percussionist was Paul Gearbo, and the trumpeter, Phil Revens. Technical presentation was by Graham Harper, and the broadcast assistant was Alison Rees.